Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to Off the Mark. I'm Andrew Hughes. He's Aaron Hughes. Let's get right into the news. First things first, the rumor of having Triple H behind Nexus. What's going on here, Aaron?
Yeah, so there was talk about having a face turn heel in order to be the mastermind behind Nexus. And there was the thought of doing it with John Cena. But John Cena, of course, I mean, he's a cash cow. You know, I mean, he is the Hulk Hogan of the 80s, where you don't turn him a heel. You just don't. And Triple H has been wanting to be a heel for a number of years now, so there's talks of having him be the person, mastermind behind Nexus. So it could turn out to just be a rumor, you know, but if not, you heard it here first on Off the Mark.
Yes, good point. Here's the thing that I actually think that's a great idea if Triple H is behind it. I don't think he is. I have a feeling that there's something more behind the whole story. I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden it comes out that it was Vince McMahon who told him to do this. But Triple H is, you know, close enough. The other thing that's going on right now is Jeff Hardy, bless his soul right now, his court date again gets pushed back.
Yeah, the story came out afterwards.
Right.
And so we unfortunately didn't get to a chance to get it in here. So, I mean, it's a, you know, week old, but still, you know, it keeps getting pushed back and back. So what do you think of that?
I don't like it. At some point, I mean, it's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Why are they even showing up for court? I mean, they should just say we need another continuance and Hardy should not have to show up, because all that's doing is making him fly back to North Carolina and then fly back to Orlando where he's going to be wrestling. So to me, that's kind of crap. There has to be some point when they just say enough's enough. You know what I mean? Enough's enough. We don't have the proper charges. You know, it was entrapment anyways. Let it go. I mean, what else does he have? Whatever record does he really have? I mean, he's admitted to smoking marijuana. But he says that he doesn't do the pills thing anymore. Okay, let him just the deal. What was he busted for again? What was it, steroids? Like some ridiculous amount of pills?
Yeah, I think it was human growth hormones or something lines.
It doesn't really matter. But the point is, if they have to do this many continuances, they're looking for more evidence. Is what the problem is. Just let it go. Just let it go. Let him carry on with his life. Because after that happened, didn't his place burn down with his dog inside of it? I mean,
yeah. Actually, that happened before.
I'm sorry. That happened before.
But still, I mean, you're right though. I mean, he had just a really crap year. But I don't know. I mean, I think that at this point in time, they probably don't have enough on him. Same thing I said last time, and probably in about 4 or 5 episodes, we're gonna be talking about this again. So.
Yeah, that's true. Moving on to the pay-per-view, TNA's pay-per-view. What was this one called?
It was Victory Road.
Thank you. Couldn't remember off the top of my head. Anyways, Spanky cannot win to save his life.
Yeah, he just apparently, you know, it's kind of nice. I mean, because you expected him to win, so it was kind of cool to not see him win. But at the same time, you know, you're just really, really cheering for him. So what did you do? What did you think of it?
Well, truthfully, I missed this match. I was not happy about that, but I did hear that he lost. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, it was set up for him to win. And the fact that he doesn't win, it's just kind of weird. But anyways, Motor City Machine Guns, I can never get that right, they finally win the titles. Finally. It took all this time. And that was actually a really good match. I wasn't surprised they won, but I was also. It's like when Jeff Hardy won the world title, you weren't sure, you weren't like surprised, but you were.
Yeah, and like when Jeff Hardy won it, I mean, he got it taken away right away, and kind of a similar thing happened here, where a member of the Motor City Machine Guns pinned a member of Beer Money pinned Motor City Machine Guns. You had two refs. They both counted to three at the same time. So it was one of those controversial endings. And then they just restarted the match, and Motor City Machine Guns just, you know, they beat the living crap out of Beer Money, and they won the titles. And it was such a big moment. And, I mean, it was tag match of the year. I mean, these guys are the most exciting tag team in professional wrestling probably ever. I mean, they rival, I think, the Hardy Boys in the 90s. So, but
I'll have to kind of agree with you on that. I'm not there yet with them, but we'll see how things play over in the next few years. RVD, he retains. No surprise there. I knew from the get-go that he was going to win. I mean, what'd you think?
Yeah, you kind of figured. You were kind of hoping maybe you would have a title change. I didn't see Hardy winning it. I don't see him as being the flagship. Like, it's easy to put it on RVD. Very easy to put on AJ Styles. I don't know if you can to Ken Anderson yet, but I know he's being groomed for it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I would kind of like to see RVD lose the title. He doesn't need it. You know, I think that there are a lot of other people in the company who are right there that could use it. So,
good opinion, dude. Very good opinion. Moving on to Raw. Is Jericho behind Nexus? That wouldn't surprise me, actually. I mean, they kind of teased it a little bit. They didn't attack Wade Barrett. I mean, when Wade Barrett came over to him, they didn't attack him. They just let him go on his way.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they had a conversation. You know, they had somebody come up to him and ask for an interview. And, you know, he's like, no comment immediately. To be honest, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I think that he's going to have, at least he's going to be like a mentor to him or something, in my opinion. But like we talked about earlier, could be Triple H.
Well, actually, let's dig into this a little bit more. What if, this is a big what if though, what if Jericho is not behind it? I guess I'm wording this improperly. Let's say they beat the crap out of Jericho. What does that do for him? Nothing. I don't think, at least.
Yeah.
So they don't beat him up. They beating up Edge. Edge didn't have he wasn't a pro in the NXT. So technically that actually helps his character out a little bit because he got ambushed by him. But the only person who hasn't yet is Chris Jericho because he's protected because of Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically my thing is it almost has to be Jericho now. There's no way around it. You have to say it's Jericho. Or he has some deal worked out with him.
I think it could breathe some more life into his character, and I know that you and I have both been critical about how they've, you know, the direction his character has gone in. So I would kind of like to see it, you know, kind of like how, you know, there are some things in WWE that we wanted to see, and in particular, they did it this week with Edge and Orton, where Edge actually beat Orton in a real match,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't like Jericho came out. But he didn't, like, interfere with the match. He was just there. And so I was actually really impressed by that. What do you think?
I was impressed, too. I was actually more impressed with that match overall. I mean, that was a great match, first of all, for free TV. I guess my thing was, actually, my big thing was what happened at the very end. With Evan Bourne doing the Shooting Star Press into an RKO. That was freaking awesome. I kept rewinding.
That is
going to
be on the highlight reel for the next 10, maybe 20 years.
Here's what I don't like, though. The live shot, they completely botched it. I was ticked.
Yes,
I'm like, did he really hit that? And how did Evan Bourne take that bump? And honestly, Evan Bourne, what a trooper. He did it like he was really going to like do the Shooting Star Press. And he almost got there, by the way. He almost got there. I'm sorry, the Airborne. And then When he took it, he barely lifted his head up at the last second. He started to rise his head up just a little bit and then took it like a champ, dude. And you know it didn't hurt him at all, but like he made it seem like he was freaking dead.
yeah, he did. And I mean, it, like you said, highlight reel for the next 10 years. I mean, guaranteed that will be there because I'm sure that he got so much props in the back. And Randy Orton, too. I mean, you know, the thing is, Evan Bourne, you know, he does it. Randy Orton has to be there perfect, and the timing was just amazing, you know, especially for a live show.
I'm wondering if they practiced that move, though.
That's what I was thinking when they did it. Honestly, the first thing I thought was they had to have been practicing.
Oh, yeah. Here's the other thing, by the way. Wasn't Raw taped this week?
No, it was not.
I thought they had a Raw. I thought Raw was taped this week because they did a super show on Tuesday where they had – you remember? You know what I'm talking about now?
The super show, though, was they just had everybody there. So last Tuesday, they had John Cena and a couple other people take on Nexus. And it was a 6-on-6 match. And the three that were there for Raw were heels. And so they jumped out. And so it was a 3-on-6 match instead. And John Cena and his two partners ended up winning. So the Super Show wasn't necessarily a real Super Show.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, I stand corrected. I was going to be like, wow, they taped, because didn't they just go over to England and come back? Is that right?
I don't know. I don't think that they were going yet, but I could be wrong myself. So, but my question, though, is speaking of Nexus versus Cena, Justin Gabriel ended up getting the pin on him with the 450 splash. And he's been using that they've been using that as the Nexus finisher now. You know, people will go and do their moves, but they give Justin Gabriel the pin. What do you think about Cena putting over Justin Gabriel?
I think he's going to be like a Billy Kidman. Once the flock breaks up, he's the number one guy. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Because, you know, I remember, if you remember back in the day when WCW, when the flock broke up, Billy Kidman came out and he was the big guy. He won the Cruiserweight title and it was, you know, the rest is history. I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Gabriel does something similar, but more of like to like the IC US title type thing. I wouldn't be surprised there, especially, you know, like if, you know, as soon as he gets all of a sudden gets put over, he's a huge face. Cause honestly, he's of that group. He is the guy that it just looks out of place. Besides him and Darren Young look out of place because they are faces and they're playing heels. That just gets to me every time. You can just tell that. And Heath Slater, to a certain extent, sometimes it's just like they're not comfortable. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of the Nexus angle this week? Now, we've been talking about it pretty much, you know, what we thought of it the last week, the week before that. What did you think of it this week? Did you think that it was played off correctly?
No, not at all. Not at all. I was pretty upset. I was actually very upset with this week.
Like, what didn't you like about it?
I just don't like the direction they're doing the group. I think they're almost making them almost too tough. Does that make sense? Like, I want to see them get their butts kicked, and I know that they're going to wait till a pay-per-view to do that, but come on. I mean, at some point, you know what I mean? Like, some point there has to be a line drawn in the sand, and almost, in a way, it's almost... there's no line. You know what I mean?
Well, I would actually disagree with you because I kind of like the way they did it this week. It's kind of funny because last week you liked it and I didn't. This week it's the reverse. I liked them going and taking someone out one at a time backstage. I thought that was more interesting. I actually liked also at the end, or I shouldn't say, I thought the end was interesting is what I should say. When Sheamus came out with the chair to help out Cena. And Sheamus didn't attack Cena afterwards. That's what I was expecting. I think everybody and their mom was expecting Sheamus to take the steel chair and hit Cena in the back with it, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that. And so I got a question. Do you think that it was a good idea to have Sheamus help out Cena this week?
Yes and no. Because, see, this is why... There's so many. They're playing off so many things. Like, it can actually be Sheamus, who is the guy behind Nexus as well. I mean, there's so many things that you could do. I mean, the fact that he didn't help him, I think, actually made his character a little bit better. It can almost make him a face to a certain extent. If he was to help Cena and they were like to shake hands, he could become a face overnight. I mean, there's no other way you can put it. He could become a face overnight. I almost think that if you want to turn Sheamus face now, this is probably the best. I mean, anytime, if you want to turn anyone right now, this is the best time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he might, I don't think he can actually do it, but if they want to put him in that position, this is the time to do it.
Now, the other thing, too, that I should mention was during that time, Cena got busted up. He got busted up bad. I mean,
yeah.
He was bleeding hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was interesting. I mean, because, and they let it go. That's the other thing too, because mm-hmm. they couldn't really stop it right in the middle. I mean, they had to let that go. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh yeah.
Now on SmackDown, they had a continuation of the Kane detective angle, where he's going around and the whole whodunit, and this time he's focusing on Jack Swagger. Do you like this angle?
Well, when Robert Downey Jr. comes out and in a Sherlock Holmes outfit with Kane, I think it'll be interesting then. It's getting kind of annoying now. I mean, if they did it for a couple of weeks, that's great. But there is just, I mean, it's, look at that. It's Jared over there beating the dead horse. You know, that's what it is right now. I mean, they need to stop it, get it over done with. I just hope that it's over with by the pay-per-view.
I agree with you, but it won't be. That, which is something else that's interesting that you bring up, because, you know, on SmackDown, they really did not hype up the pay-per-view nearly as much. I mean, on Raw, I think that they made me want to see the pay-per-view.
Oh,
on SmackDown,
yeah.
On the other hand, SmackDown this week was pretty bad. I mean, it really was. You know, Raw was pretty good. SmackDown, to me, it was pretty bad.
Now, isn't SmackDown moving to Sci-Fi pretty soon, though?
In October, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so I'm not too concerned. Once I can actually watch SmackDown in HD, I'm not going to really care. And I think, in all seriousness, I don't think they care right now because, you know, there's not many great, great stars on there right now. And I think they realize it, so they're going to put everything to Raw. That's fine. I understand. Anyways, NXT, though, NXT was pretty good this week. Alex Riley and Lucky Cannon had a really good match, I thought. And then, of course, Percy Watson had his little TV show thing, which actually led to the Battle Royale. But I don't like what they did to Percy, actually. I think they hurt his character big time.
I agree with you. I think it was really stupid to have him say that he was going to wrestle MVP or he was going to attack him.
Yeah.
That to me really hurt it.
Oh, yeah. Because he's supposed to be the fun guy, like the, oh, yeah, like the, you know, the reigning and all that stuff. That's great. And I think it's funny as all get out. But the thing is, this is the problem that they're running into. He is a face. He is 100% face guy. And they're not utilizing him. Again, another wrestler who's not utilized in the WWE. Who would have thunk it, right? But if that's what the plan was the entire time, he just should have been not doing the host thing, period. It should have been someone else.
Exactly. They should have had like Alex Riley be it and then have him bring somebody else on. They should have had Eli Cottonwood. They should have had somebody who it looks like they would do that. I think it hurt his character.
Yeah, it hurt his character big time. Eli Cottonwood should have been the one who got it. Also, during the match, I don't know if you noticed it, but did you see that Alex Riley was busted up again from what Caval did to him in FCW? He started bleeding.
Yeah, he got busted, like, his back.
Yeah, it was actually the back of his head because Caval did that a couple weeks back in FCW during the heavyweight championship match. They actually had to stop the match because of it. Well, it broke open, so they told him to get out of the ring because it was really bad. Anyways.
What's funny about that, too, was that when he went out of the ring, he went under the ropes. And they were going to fix him up. And then the announce team said that everybody, all of the rookies have been kicked out of, or are out of the ring, have been thrown over the top. And it's just the pros left, and the pros got thrown over, and it was just Nexus. Well, Alex Riley was still in the match. So I don't know what happened there. I mean, you know, he was still in the match, went underneath the ropes. So I think the match is still going on.
Is this
longest wrestling match ever?
Is this the Royal Rumble thing where, what was it, Steven? No, it was Maven. Maven was in the Royal Rumble.
Maven.
And he was never taken out over the top rope. So technically, he's still in the Royal Rumble from that year.
That's true. That's the longest match of all time.
Dang, you're right.
But you know what? If you really want something that's really good, such as long-term hosting, you know what you should have?
You should have GoDaddy, man. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer 69, see safety details. Total nonstop action, TNA. Kevin Nash, he is on a mission to find out what happened to Eric Bischoff. What's going on with this?
He wants to speak with Bischoff. They're doing this angle where he wants... you know, well, I helped you out in WCW, and I need some help out here in TNA. I want to get Scott Hall and Sean Waltman back. You know, I want to get them back, and I want to talk about other stuff, too. So they have this kind of interesting angle, but this week, I mean, they gave it a lot of airtime. You know, last week it had a little bit. Week before it had a small amount, too. What do you think of this? Do you think that it's kind of a good way to go for Kevin Nash's character, or...
They need to do something with him, so they're like, hey, let's do the stupid angle where he needs to talk to Bischoff. Big deal. Don't care.
Yeah.
Don't really care.
I really don't either. I mean, but I think, you know, it is a pretty major angle that they are doing. So figured we needed to give it some credence. Now, they had Samoa Joe versus Rob Terry versus Desmond Wolfe, which was their the middle match, you know, the big match that they always have in the middle. This match was one of the reasons you watch TNA is for the wrestling. I mean, their storylines are okay, but their wrestling is top-notch and is way better than anything that WWE is putting out. And this was one of them. You know, how you remember Samoa Joe versus RVD last week?
Oh, yeah.
This was that match, you know? So just figured, might as well, you know, just give it a quick talk about, say that we, you know, that you should watch it. But moving along, they're doing an angle for the tag team titles. Beer Money and Motor City Machine Guns are in a best of five series. What do you think of that?
That reminds me of Booker T and Chris Benoit best of seven. Those were some great matches. And of course, we figured out, hey, it's going to have to end on the pay-per-view. And it did.
This one probably will, too.
This one probably, yes. And, you know, that's great. I mean, I'm glad that Motor City Machine Guns are, you know, getting the publicity finally. And, you know, they're getting what they deserved. And Beer Money, they've had it. They're great when they first came out. And that's kind of what I'd like to see with Motor City Machine Guns, you know. But yeah, moving on to our weekly topic, Money in the Bank, the pay-per-view. We don't have very many matches.
Well, there's actually more matches on here. There's a few more, but the thing is we don't talk about pay-per-views on here, really.
Yeah, we don't.
We normally just talk about what happens afterwards, and I thought this was a good opportunity because Money in the Bank is actually going to be a major pay-per-view. So I figured we'd talk about who we think will win the matches.
Okay.
So the Raw Money in the Bank ladder match, who do you think will win?
Looking at it right now, I can tell you who is going to win, and I already know why. You're going to see Evan Bourne win.
Really?
Yep. Evan Bourne will win. I can almost guarantee it because right now the only other person who could win it is Ted DiBiase, and I think that's a little premature right now because he needs to start talking about the $1 million belt. And he's already doing his own thing right now. The only person who's not, and they set it up already, Evan Bourne. He took the monster bump, which he didn't need to. I see him winning it. I'm calling it right now. He's going to win.
So your second person is Ted DiBiase then?
Ted DiBiase, yeah. Everyone else, they're just there. Randy Orton's there. Edge is there. Chris Jericho's there. Morrison, Henry. Miz, yeah, they're all just there.
Actually, if Mark Henry wins, I think we should quit doing the show. That's just what I'm
okay,
going to say.
If Mark Henry does win, we'll stop doing Off the Mark. All right, gotcha.
we are going to quit.
Yeah.
My prediction is John Morrison. My backup prediction is Randy Orton. Actually, no. Backup prediction is Chris Jericho. The reason I say John Morrison is because I think that he is ready to basically go to the next level. So that's why I think that he's going to win.
Okay.
So,
all right.
SmackDown, who do you think?
Who I want to win is Matt Hardy. That's who I want to win. I want Matt Hardy to freaking win or Christian to win, but I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's going to be Dolph Ziggler.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Big Show won't win. I mean, if he wins, I'll be surprised.
No, Big Show will not win. Kofi will not win. Kane will not win. So yeah. Those three.
I could see Kofi winning, but Big Show and Kane will not win.
No.
Matt Hardy won't win because they won't push him. In my opinion, I actually agree with you with Dolph. My backup is Drew McIntyre. What about for you?
You know, I want to say Matt Hardy, but it's going to be Dolph Ziggler or Cody Rhodes. Because
you think Cody is your backup?
Well, he just came out with that gimmick, the dashing Cody Rhodes, where he looks at himself in the mirror. That would help him out. Of all those people as champions, gosh, you know what? I'm gonna have to take that back. Drew McIntyre is going to win. I can't believe it. I just realized that he has to win because no matter how you look at the people in the match, Christian, it'll do nothing for him. Matt Hardy, nothing. Kofi, nothing. Big Show, Kane, and then you're down to Dolph Ziggler or Drew McIntyre. So it's going to be either Drew McIntyre or Dolph Ziggler that wins. Dolph probably will win because he's good on the mic and he can wrestle. Drew can wrestle. He sucks on the mic. You know, yeah. So.
I disagree with you, though. I think that for Christian, I think it could help out his character a lot. I think that it would, but that's just my thought. Now, what about the SmackDown main event of Mysterio versus Swagger?
Mysterio. Swagger's not going to win it. He was dull. He brought nothing to the table. He can't act to save his life, and you have to be able to act as a champion or pay your dues like Mysterio has. He hasn't. So
I agree with you.
Now, the steel cage match for the WWE Championship, you know, Sheamus versus John Cena, it's going to have to be Sheamus winning it. I don't think John Cena can win. Not now.
Yeah, I agree with you there, too. I think that, you know, if you have the title switch hands too much, it kind of makes the title useless. And I think that you're going to have Sheamus win, but it'll be by escaping the cage. Because, you know, Cena brought up a point on Raw, which is what I said, too. He won the first title by pushing Cena through a table, and he won his second title after the Nexus beat the ever-living crap out of Cena. So, you know, this time he's going to retain the title by escaping the cage. So,
yeah, you're right. Oh. Good point. Well, that's all the time we got for this week. First off, I want to say thanks to all the fans that listen to our shows. Of course, A6 Productions and Section A6. And of course, I want to thank Aaron for coming on the show. If you want to follow him, he is AP Hughes. I'm Andrew. I'm at AHughes86. And if you want to follow the show, we're OffTheMark86 on the Twitter, of course. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes, and we're tagging out.